Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and a lot going on, of course. One of the things that is never touched by the utterly controlled and created mainstream media, the primary propaganda brainwashing platform of the global, international, satanic evil that is running this planet, is the simple fact that information, I guess, let's just go with the term, the lie of omission. They're lying constantly to everyone by omitting critically important factual data. They're just not telling anybody. That's what they do. Many kinds of lies out there. Bald-faced lies, overt lies, covert lies, and then the lie of omission, which may be the nastiest one of all. So there's a lot happening in terms of ALS. Now we're going to spend some time on that tonight. It's a big story, and it's getting worse. Much worse. Some people, what did they call our program? Somebody said the Jeff and Erica Horror Show or something like that. I forget. Look, it's not fun to have to do this,
No.
but for God's sake, somebody has to. We need to know. And that's the bottom line here. Hello, partner. Welcome back.
Hi there.
Yeah. Hi there. That's all I
Hi.
get. All right. Okay. ALS. Let's keep it wider than that. These are prion protein disorders of the brain, destructive disorders. A number of different names, different types, different, I guess you could spin them this way or that, but it's the same thing in the end. It's damage to the brain. And this idea of people from the driveway to the stop sign at the corner literally forgetting their own daughter. I think that's what it was. Who that person was, what her name, the whole
Yeah.
thing. It's absolutely devastating to have to watch someone you know and love and have grown up with, a parent, a family member, a relative, whatever, and watch that person physically in the beginning look and sound pretty much normal. But when the cognition goes, they're no longer the same, and then the physiology goes. And it is a terrible punishment for those around the person who are trying to give help, aid, comfort, care, home care, and they do. And God bless all of them because that's not easy to do. That is really withering and brutal on those who are not afflicted, who really don't know. The people who are afflicted in the beginning notice things. But I'm wondering at what point, and there is a point, at which they no longer really notice the degeneration that they're going through. We're going to touch on some of that tonight as well.
Good. There's increasingly more reports of this in, young, relatively young people. Again,
Terribly.
some of these neurodegenerative diseases, unless there's a genetic component, they don't usually present until later in life. But it's been known ever since the bioweapon, and I'm not talking about the vaccine, but the virus, people that got that virus in late 2019 and throughout 2020, well before the rollout of the vax, and were left with lingering symptoms, some of them never resolved, and they went on to develop ALS-like symptoms. ALS is a motor neuron disease where you lose the progressive, or you lose the ability to use to for your muscles to move. You can't voluntarily move your muscles the way you want.
Right.
And the usually starts in the limbs, maybe the hands, a weakness in the hands or the feet, and you person would find themselves having drop foot or tripping, just not coordinating well,
Right.
and then it moves on up from there, eventually resulting in the failure of the diaphragm to help the person breathe, to enable the person to breathe. Now there's another form called bulbar ALS, which starts with symptoms from the neck above.
Spell that, will you please, for everyone?
B as in boy, U L, B as in boy, A R, bulbar.
Got it.
And that tends to have a faster progression, but it starts with symptoms like slurred speech, difficulty chewing, swallowing, maybe choking, and a weakness or twitching in the muscles of the face, jaw, throat, voice box, and the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed that, or I've read reports of it, of people noticing some of the vaxxed are having, you can see a twitching in their tongue.
Really?
So
assuming
these neurological,
they have their mouth open, yes.
Yeah, maybe a slightly open mouth when they're in between mm-hmm. words or mm-hmm. listening, whatever. But yeah, they have trouble forming words sometimes, poor articulation, mm-hmm. and changes in their voice or speech patterns, maybe a hoarse voice. But, the bulbar onset ALS, as I said, tends to progress a lot faster in the much poorer prognosis. You know, standard classical ALS can sometimes run for a decade.
I still wonder if there's not some kind of a turbo aspect to these cases now.
Yeah, yeah. Because, this bioweapon, particularly in its injected form, mm-hmm. It doesn't discriminate. It goes everywhere in the body. It spares nothing. And so,
right.
if it happens to be the spinal cord or brain or peripheral nervous system that's transfected with this stuff, how do you get rid of it? How do you stop it?
Well, tragically, you can't.
The nerves are immunologically privileged, which means the immune system generally won't attack him to get rid of it. So you're going to have something that persists with just these intractable symptoms.
Right. Cancer is exploding. All kinds of things are exploding. These prion protein brain diseases are growing like weeds. O.J. Simpson, it is said now, did take the shot and died of turbo cancer. That's what's being suggested. I have no proof, but that's anecdotally what we're hearing now. And it's probable. If he was injected, that's not a stretch at all. Okay. We have the Children's Health Defense bus tour. We've got another video tonight. This is interesting. And COVID shots and shedding. COVID shots and shedding. The interviewers were talking to a woman. I was one interviewer. Talked to a lady, a mother. Her mother, a cancer patient, got two Pfizer COVID shots. Following the injections, her cancer just got so aggressive, says the interviewee, that there was nothing left they could even do for her. Her brother also got injected. I was so upset. And he ended up with cancer of the tonsils. He's now a shell of what he was. All right, set this up for us and we'll jump into it.
Yeah, this particular interview took place in Vermont. And this woman has had more than her fair share of, up close and personal experience with the bioweapon, the vax.
Right.
I'll let her tell her story.
Okay. All right, here we go.
We are live. Can you tell us your name, please?
My name is Michelle.
Okay, let's talk first of all about the COVID shots before we get onto the shedding situation. Mm-hmm. So do you want to start with your mom or your brother?
My mother.
Okay, let's
do
it.
She had been fighting multiple myeloma for going on 5 years when her oncologist encouraged her that it was safe and effective to get the COVID shots. And unfortunately, she did go along with the safety requirements to be able to get in and out of the hospital, and she was dead within 6 months after her second shot.
All right, let's go and unwind this story a little bit. First of all, what is multiple myeloma?
Multiple myeloma is a cancer that involves the bone marrow or the production of red blood cells in the body. So it attacks your calcium levels, and it basically deteriorates your spine and your pelvis. The cancer that just eats away at your structure.
It's a horrid cancer.
Yeah, horrible.
So about your mum, was she someone who would be generally up to date on her shots anyway? Flu vaccine?
No, not the flu shots or anything like that that I know of. That she didn't really partake much in that at all. She did have me vaccinated when I was a child, but the vaccinations were much less than what they are now.
So going back, so your mom has this really sort of nasty cancer,
mm-hmm.
and she's told by her oncologist.
Sort of nasty cancer? Turbo multiple myeloma. Wow. All right.
That it's a good idea to have the COVID shot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's safe and effective for
Absolutely.
People with cancer.
Especially because her health was, you know, touch and go, so.
And you know which shot she got?
I believe it was the Pfizer shot.
Mm-hmm. And did she just have one or two?
Two.
She had two. And then what happened? Did her cancer come back more aggressively?
Full aggressive, so much so that she was in the parking garage and her pelvis broke while she was in the parking garage. And so she was leaving the hospital at the time. It was going right back into the hospital because she then had a broken pelvis. I mean, her cancer just got so aggressive that there was nothing left that they could do for her.
She's standing in the parking garage and her pelvis gives way, it breaks, and I assume she hit the ground. This is incredible.
I know.
And did anyone say, well, you know, it's the shot?
Never.
Of course not.
Never.
And they just get away with it.
Absolutely. And they don't believe you if you tell them. They're so conditioned. They have got people so conditioned to believe that it couldn't possibly be the shots that are deteriorating your health or making your health condition worse.
Did you ever speak to the oncologist that told your mum it was a good idea to have the shot?
No,
I would love to.
I have not. Yeah, I have not.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm really sorry to hear about that. Okay, let's talk about your brother. What happened to him?
Again, he went in and got the shots because his wife was very sick and he wanted to keep her safe. And so he went in and got the shots and he came and told me, and I asked him when he came over to the house one day, I said, did you get your shots? And he told me he did, and I just started bawling. I was so upset, and he couldn't understand why I was so upset. I said, you're taking a part in an experiment. Like, you just donated your body to an experiment, and you have no idea what's going to happen. So he proceeded and got his booster, and within, I believe, 3 weeks to a month, he was diagnosed with tonsil cancer, an aggressive cancer.
Tonsil cancer. Do you know which one he got?
I am not sure which
no,
one
okay.
he got.
And how's he doing now?
He's so thin, and he can barely eat. They said it'd take him to, because he's gone through chemotherapy and radiation, because that's what they suggest you do, and he is just a walking stick figure.
Okay, so your brother took the shot because he was the carer for his sick wife.
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with is his wife better now?
Pancreatic. She had her pancreas was very infected.
So now she's the carer for him, I presume.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Mm-hmm. He's back to work and everything now, but he's still a shell of what he was. Yeah, it's horrible.
I'm really sorry to hear this. Now,
I wonder what it's going to take, if anything. I wonder if we'll ever get to the stage where these people will never use the term experimental or defective. When are they going to get to the point, if they can? I'm not sure they can face it.
No.
This is a murder weapon.
The people, I think, that are pursuing, you know, I do see in the myocarditis groups, and these people are really, really hurting. I shouldn't say just them. Most of them are. some of them understand, because they're not getting any help. They're being gaslit and told them it's all in their head. No, it can't be the vaccine. And they're beginning to, you know, they know this is something's not right. And then, of course, if they hear the same story from other people in the same situation, then they start to connect the dots. But, you know, we read that thing the other day about they were complaining about their friends and relatives going for boosters.
Right.
In spite of the fact that they know them, these people personally, and how much they've suffered. from having had these injections, and yet somehow they don't think it can happen to them. And then there was that one post where this person was actually scolding these people
for
you know, talking negatively about these vaccines, that you know, they made their best attempt, and most of the time they do work well.
Oh, my. I remember. I just, it is appalling to hear this. They're so brainwashed and programmed. They're not even in the game.
Well, it's just classic Stockholm syndrome. They cannot entertain the idea that somebody is deliberately trying to harm them.
Can't do it. Nope. All right, here we go.
Do you want to talk any other things on the COVID shots?
Yeah, I do. I'm curious to see what happened in Vermont, because 2021, something happened with legislation. My son just died in February in a truck accident, and I wasn't aware until the day of his viewing, because I had a viewing for his friends, and I had him wear his baseball cap, and the funeral director handed me his baseball cap back and said, "I'll try to get it without any blood." And I said, "What do you mean?" His head wasn't injured. They're like, "Oh, they did a full autopsy on him." I'm like, "Why? Why would they do a full autopsy on him? He was in a truck accident by himself with nobody else involved. What are they looking for?" And the funeral director said, "You know what they're looking for." I'm like, "Oh, they're looking for blood clots and anything that maybe made him pass out." Because nobody told me that you could just do a full-on autopsy now in the state of Vermont without getting permission. Because something happened where you have to get permission to do a full autopsy on a patient or a person who had just passed. So this is new. This is not something that is, either the family would request it or they would call and ask
what
permission.
Did he say though at the coroner when you said this is, I didn't give you permission?
I didn't give you permission, and they said something about the state has the ability now to do autopsies if the state says it's okay to do so.
How old is your son?
23.
26. Sounds like she lost her 26-year-old son. It sounds like the state might be tracking vaccidents.
Yeah.
To see if these people are mentally damaged, physiologically mentally damaged.
Well, he was not vaxxed, though.
No, I understood. But that there are other ways to become afflicted with these things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. All right. Let's see what she says next. I've not heard this before.
How old is your son?
23.
I'm really sorry to hear
that. Yeah, I'm so thankful he didn't get the shots. Because that's the first thing his father told me was he didn't get the shots, Michelle. I said, I know, because he wouldn't get the shots. But why are they doing autopsies on 23-year-olds?
23 years old, wow.
Why? What are they looking for? There was no one else involved in the accident by him. So.
When did that happen? Sorry.
Single car accident, unvaxxed, and they do a mandatory autopsy. They're looking for something, all right. She knows. And what is it? I don't know.
Okay, well, I don't know why, but thank you for bringing that up, because that's something that is a good question. Why are they?
And what are they looking for?
Let's talk about you for a second. You're a massage therapist, correct?
Yes, 26 years.
And we're going to talk about shedding. Okay, why don't you tell us what you've observed?
Okay, this is going to be interesting. 26 years, a massage therapist. That's hands-on a lot of people, especially in the last, since 2020. Let's see what she says. This is interesting.
From touching these people.
Of course, I was not going to partake in it, but I would have clients that would come within the 12 hours that they had received, sometimes the same day, that they had received their shot. And so within 24 hours, I'd start menstruating my cycle is to a T every 28 days, never had an issue before, and then within 12 to 24 hours, I would be bleeding without question, like full out bleeding. And it happened multiple times. And so I would have my cycle, and then 2 weeks later, I'd work on somebody that was vaccinated. I don't even want to call it vaccinated, who had gotten these shots, and then the next thing you know, I'm cycling. And I mean, sometimes it was only a week after my menstrual period. So I just was like, okay, this is unsafe. This is not normal. My cycle should not be fluctuating this quickly and without anything. But that was the only thing different in my life. There was no stressors at that time. There was nothing that I could pinpoint. I'm not on any birth control. I didn't miss a birth control pill or anything like that. There was nothing other than the fact that I had worked on vaccinated clientele. And so I ended my practice working on anybody that was vaccinated. I only moved it to people who were unvaccinated.
Wow. And you're not the only person that's told us this. We had another massage therapist actually a couple of days ago who said exactly the same thing.
Absolutely. And I started a group online because I went to school for massage therapy out in Colorado, so I knew a lot. My arm reach was pretty far with how many massage therapists I knew, and in Maine as well. And it was the same story. I was getting the same story back, is that they're cycling. These women are cycling after working on people who had just been injected. And then I went into looking at the Pfizer paperwork of when they were bringing people on board to put these experiments onto them, and I was like, skin-to-skin contact. If they had skin-to-skin contact with somebody, they were supposed to report it and tell them, and so that they could bring them into the, what is it called when they're testing a drug out on people? What is that called?
A trial.
They were doing the trials, and it said if they had sex with somebody who was not part of the trial, that they needed to let them know. So I was like, okay, there's something. They know that there's something with skin-to-skin contact. Like, there's something going on. Why would you be a part of a trial if you didn't get the injection, but you have been in skin-to-skin contact with somebody who was a part of the trial? I was like, okay. So something's up, that they know that skin-to-skin contact does something. Why else would it be in the trial paperwork?
It's also messed up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's just this incredible lie that is not being addressed. I'm seeing so many people with heart issues and cardiac arrests and people who are dying just or having like psychological issues.
But not, this is the interesting thing, not just in the vaccinated, we're beginning to see it in the unvax as well, myocarditis and people with breathing issues. And
okay, she pegged skin-to-skin contact, that's fine, but I think she's missing the other half of the issue, and that's aerosolized exhalation transmission of spike and maybe mRNA, we don't know. And other things, which we've talked about many times. That's another, you get in a small room with somebody and you start working out, and your breath, your respiration goes up, you're inhaling directly from a toxified person. Mm-hmm. I wish people could understand, maybe it would make it easy, maybe it would make it hard. There's a lot of denial out there. Everyone who's taken the shots is in trouble. Whether they see it now or not, if it's a competent, viable injection of the bioweapon, things are going on in their bodies. Their lifespan has been shortened. We've seen various estimates. One was 25 years shorter automatically if you've been injected. And I just have this, I believe firmly that they, those behind this, know exactly what they've done, and they may have injected 90% of the people. We don't know for sure. We used to think 70. I think it's higher than that. But the shedding vectoring is putting other people on this shorter lifespan list of people who will not live a full and productive life, period. It's like they've won. I keep saying that. They've won. They don't care if the truth gets out now. It's over. It's done. And we go back to, again, our vax-injured people and how many of them are getting back to 100% normal. And I'd say it's really virtually none. They're getting worse, if anything. They literally are getting worse en masse. It's no joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of that,
They've succeeded. The satanic evil ones, have succeeded. They've done it. And now they're just sitting back, watching it roll out.
Yep.
It's like we're being shed on, right?
Yeah, we're being shed on, and that was 2 years ago that this all madness started, and I just got diagnosed with cervical cancer.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
All right, shedding. In her case, an argument could be made, led to her cervical cancer. You can't do this 5 days a week or however many days she's doing it in a little room, sweating, perspiration on your hands, sweating moisture being expelled through the body of the client, and not expect to get spiked. This woman is spiked, I would say, without any question.
Oh, yeah.
How could she not be? And now she's got
cervical
cancer.
And the skin-to-skin contact seems to be incredibly efficient.
Yes.
At getting the spike, because it is a skin-penetrating nanoparticle, right into the bloodstream.
Right in. Within moments, minutes at the least.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had the incidences of somebody, you know, just giving someone else a hug, just, you know, a brief cheek-to-cheek.
That's
or
it.
A handshake.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's finish this up here. She's almost done. Very interesting information. And see, again, this whole thing, I think, can be almost codified by the key word grief. Grief for everyone, the victims, the family, the friends, all those impacted, afflicted, all of them. And the children. Oh, my God, that's another thing. Anyone who declares war on children and butchers children is not human, not by any stretch. All right, here's the rest.
Yeah, I think it took the trauma of what was going on, and then you put the trauma of my son dying, it just kicked everything right into a perfect alignment. Who's to say it wasn't part of this whole deal? I'm not sure yet. But I hemorrhaged in March, and they wanted to give me blood, or else I was gone. And I'm like, can you guarantee that it's from, can you guarantee that has no mRNA, like, science in it? You know, like, make sure that this blood is clean. And they're like, oh, we don't keep track of that. I'm like, well, maybe you should. Like, because if I take this blood and I'm walking around with the Grim Reaper on my back, I don't know what's going to happen to me over the next. How am I supposed to account for how I handle health issues here on out? I mean, if you're going to give me this blood and you can't tell me one way or another.
Did you get the blood?
I ended up getting the blood.
How are you feeling?
Well, I have cancer. Is it? I don't know. I can't say. Mm-hmm. It's such a great hidden mystery, because all these people with cardiac issues, they can't seem to pinpoint why. Can't find anything on the MRIs, and they can't find anything in your blood work saying why you should have a heart issue. It's so well hidden, unless they're really going to dive deep and look at the microscope and really look at what's going on.
Which they won't. Now,
no.
She's got, of course, several avenues here. Breathing, inhalation, skin-to-skin contact, absolutely, from her clients. She then allowed them to give her the blood, even though she intellectually knew to ask, well, can you guarantee this blood is clean? Nope. And she still went ahead and got it. Now, most people will not have the character, the strength, to ask even about the blood. You need blood. You need it really quickly. Or you're going to die, whatever. And they'll say, okay. They will not ask. Now, this lady is smart enough to ask, and she still took it. She might as well have taken multiple shots and multiple boosters.
Yeah. That blood
Think about it.
That's the kiss of death right there. I hate to say it, but it is.
The controllers have won. We've said that. They've won. It's game over. All those injected and a great portion of those uninjected are being, quote, injected, end quote, by shedding.
Yeah.
Or blood transfusions. So, I mean, it's so perplexing to hear these stories. This lady is smart enough to even ask and know and suspect. And I don't know her medical history, but okay, she's bleeding a lot. I get that. But I don't think that necessarily was absolutely warranted. I don't know. But nonetheless, she knew better and she still did it. That just boggles my mind.
I think there's a part of people that wants to believe it isn't as bad as it is.
Of course, it's called denial. You bet. Absolutely. Right. Good. Good. Point that out every time.
You know, if the hospital is using this blood, then, you know, and other people are taking it, it must be okay.
It requires people to literally look at everything around them, from government to private industry, as no longer their friend and something not to be trusted. And
right.
That's too big for most people to accept. They can't do it. I understand that. My God.
Yeah.
That's really horrible. Okay.
Yeah.
We have some information. Let's see if he finally uploaded them. Okay. All right. Where are we here? Where's this long one? The ALS. Which one is it?
Yeah, there's multiple.
We could
do dad with ALS, another dad with ALS.
Okay.
There's two separate stories there with their ensuing sagas.
Dad with ALS. I got four, another dad with, a dad with ALS. Which was the one that you read to me?
I think I read both.
Okay.
They're both good.
All right. Let's go with dad with ALS.
All right.
Let's split this in half. Go ahead.
Hello, all. If you're in this forum, I'm sorry. I know you would rather not be. I am posting because my dad has ALS with dementia, and I have no idea how to cope with it.
Now, pardon the interruption, but I have not heard that stuck together like that before.
No,
ALS
I haven't either.
With dementia. Yeah.
That's a new one on me. In 2022, I... female, age 24, graduated college and started working for the same company my dad does. My dad is 58. We worked closely for the next 2 years. Over this time, I gradually saw him to be having a harder time completing his job mentally, so I would often step in and help him out. He was still working, but not in the capacity he once was. In the beginning of 2024, my dad was laid off. In a mass layoff because of these issues. I was so angry that since my father and I were both close with everyone in the company that they chose to let him go that way, that I decided to quit too. He had worked there 40 years and was a part of the fabric of that company.
Wow.
It wouldn't be the same without him. As much as we saw he was changing and we were actively trying to find answers, it absolutely devastated me to witness this. It was a humiliating experience for us both. They took his phone and laptop instantly, so we couldn't even contact him. So at 24, I am out of my first real job, and at 58, my dad, the breadwinner by far between my mother and me, is laid off. 2 weeks later, we got his diagnosis of ALS with dementia. Physically, he is still pretty solid. He walks and functions normally. He does have a very hard time speaking, and his swallowing is starting to become a problem. After losing his job, the dementia really took over, and I see decline almost weekly at this point. I have spent the last 3 months as his caregiver in bringing him to all his appointments and making sure he is clean and fed. My mom and brother work full-time, and have not taken time off to help. Your turn.
The thing that kills me is his memory. My dad was the smartest, most hands-on person in my life before his illness. I idolized him so much that I modeled my own career after his. Now I can't hold a conversation with him because he either doesn't recall what I'm trying to talk about or he physically can't. He was, as I said, the breadwinner my whole life. Somehow I came out of my family as the responsible one, and I have been stuck with solving a lot of the paperwork and financial problems. My mom is honestly clueless on how the world works because my dad and her met at 17, and he took care of her for the past 40 years. And I have always been ultra-independent my whole life, so I have been taking care of my parents' affairs and instructing them on how to get things done. In reality, I know no more than them. I'm only 24, but I'm the one who has stepped up to research and find resources. I worry often my dad is depressed or angry. I worry he feels as if the world has forgotten him. I adore my dad. I lost my job. I'm actively losing my dad on the daily, and I somehow am the one who is responsible for keeping us all together. I know once he gets worse, I'm going to need to find hired help, but I don't think we can afford it. I have no idea where to begin. Please be kind. I am just looking for advice and comfort. I do not know how to survive this. I'm so angry that I have nobody to help me. I feel as if the world has fallen down all around me, and I just need resources on how to help my dad for the remainder of his life and how to survive this. Thank you. Young woman has a tremendous burden on her. See, this God damn these people to hell who did this. That's too good for them. They need to be, there's no punishment too severe or too radical for the people behind this. None. And I mean all of them. This woman is only 24. Her life is ruined. She'll never recover from this. Mentally, emotionally, psychologically. It's just awful.
Here's a similar one. We've got a mom with bulbar ALS. Similar situation.
Go ahead.
My mom has bulbar onset ALS. She was diagnosed February 2023 after experiencing noticeable symptoms since July 2022. The doctor claimed she had long COVID and everything would be fine. But things just got worse and worse. She couldn't speak, eat. She lost so much weight. She fell several times, broke her arm, and chipped her teeth. So we had to push for that diagnosis that she ultimately received in February. I honestly feel like we are alone in this. No one who hasn't gone through this understands it, and I don't know anyone who has bulbar onset ALS or has had a family member or friend with it. My dad and I are her caregivers. It is exhausting. She has extreme anxiety. She is constantly drooling. I have to use a suction machine multiple times a day. She can't do anything alone. She uses a catheter. She doesn't walk anymore, so she has to be transferred from chair to chair, chair to commode, chair to car, etc. We can't get her up the stairs anymore to use the shower, so my dad gives her sponge baths, and my sister and I wash her hair a couple times a week. I am so tired, mentally and physically. I have so much guilt when I'm not there at any time. I'm there 7 days a week, usually 8 hours most days. I just don't know what to do anymore. I am at a loss. I am afraid of what comes next, but I honestly will feel relief when she is out of her misery. My life is on hold while I help here. I want to be here, and I am, but it is sometimes too much. Does anyone have any tips or suggestions that help someone with bulbar, or any tips or suggestions to help me as a caregiver?
See, here's another one. This thing, in addition to killing and debilitating and destroying the health and mental functionality of people around the world, it creates nothing but grief and anguish in the minds and lives of all those who are around these people, who are dying. They're dying. It's terrible. And, grief.
You know, when this rollout first happened and we pretty much knew what was going to be the outcome, that we would have many people that were, you know, completely debilitated and were going to be dependent on other people to help them. Well, what was the ratio? Was it 7 to 1? In terms of, you know, one person needing, realistically speaking, 7 people to care for them.
Exactly.
Realistically. Now, you know, yeah, you could do with less, but the stress and strain of it just breaks you.
Look, every day is a gift, a blessing anymore. When you've got 80 to 90% of the people injected, and the other 10 to 20% being around the vaxxed, you've got a recipe for absolute population decimation.
Yeah.
And that's why they're bringing all these fourth world 60 IQ people in here, and why BlackRock is buying up everything it could get its hands on, housing. They're going to put these invaders in there. And it's my take that they're going to eventually, when we have a total civil breakdown here, they're going to swear these invaders in, give them uniforms and weapons, and turn them loose to restore the peace.
Mm-hmm.
This is all obvious, what's going on. It's absolutely despicable that we let this happen. And we did. We did. We just got conned and duped. We got fat and happy and diverted with TV and all the rest of it. And we just let the reins go of control over our own lives and destiny. We dropped them. Sickening. Okay.
Yeah. Go to another dad with ALS.
Got it. Okay. Watching my dad gradually get worse is soul-destroying. Exactly what I was just trying to mention. My dad, who turns 55 this year, was diagnosed in August with motor neurone disease. This is a UK term. They use that, it's MND instead of ALS in the UK. After a period of some weird symptoms, that was the worst day of my life. But the gradual watching him decline and lose more of his energy and mobility is even worse. My dad has never had any health issues prior to this. He doesn't smoke, do drugs. He loved sports. He used to be on a cricket team that he made up with some friends from his younger years. When we went on holidays away, he would often run for several miles in the morning and to start the day. Now he is nearly at a point of needing a chairlift. He is so tired and weak all the time. Last time I saw him, he could walk, but was much slower. I've had to help him sit up on occasions. It is the worst thing ever to watch your dad deteriorate like this and not be able to do a single thing about it. I feel so helpless, and I am only 22. I don't feel anywhere close to being old enough to have to watch this awful disease take my father away from me. I'm not really sure where I was going with this post. I just needed to get it out there, I think. The images of him struggling regularly to get up and around and do things stuck in my mind. This disease is so cruel. It's worse than that. It's inhuman. Go ahead.
Several responses here. As a fellow 55-year-old patient without ALS, patient with ALS, PALS, they call them, who wishes my children were around, please take solace in that you are there helping him, and I am sure giving him much comfort. Try to laugh together when you can. Maybe make small videos or photos so you remember your time together. Vent if you need to, but remember this will pass, and hopefully what you will remember most will be the good things. Another one says, it is absolutely gut-wrenching. My mom has ALS, and just watching her go through it, there are no words. I didn't know what anticipatory grief was until now, And I'm so sorry you have to watch your dad through this. Know that you are not alone. Sending all the hugs.
See, again, this is the only worthy thing I think social media has ever done, is given these poor, isolated, lonely people some hope that they're going to find somebody who understands the grief they're shouldering and having to go through. If it weren't for social media, they would be isolated, and I don't even want to think about it. All right, here's another response. ALS is a blessing and a curse. The curse, we all know. ALS tears down your body, your ability to move, to eat, to breathe, and even to just go to the toilet sometimes becomes impossible. All the while, our minds remain intact. This truly is a curse. So many people pass without notice. Hundreds of athletes, make it thousands, have dropped mid-stride from the COVID shots. Thousands more from auto accidents. So many other means take loved ones from us in an instant and without any notice. We never get to say everything we want to say. That is what ALS allows us to do. Make plans, clear the slate, and spend time with your father before he's gone. Say your goodbyes. That is the true blessing. That time you have here is very special. Be joyful, and after ALS takes him, then you grieve. Your father will always be in your heart. When it's time, he will go in peace, surrounded by those he loves. And another person says, funny you mention the COVID vaccines. I developed my major symptoms of ALS the week of mine at 27 years of age. 3 years later, the progression has really ramped up. And another one. I'm so sorry. My husband is newly diagnosed, but symptoms started 17 hours. I'll repeat that. Symptoms started 17 hours after his second shot, Pfizer. He didn't even want the shots. Work forced him to take them or lose his job. And then they let him go when he was no longer able to perform his job duties due to his worsening symptoms. He tried to get them to assign him to a different job. Nope. He worked there all through the pandemic on units with the most ill, with COVID patients. Sometimes he was the only one to volunteer to do so. And he worked 14-hour shifts to ensure patients had someone. And then this is how they honor his dedication and hard work. I can't even express how much this sucks. I would multiply that by 1,000.
Next response is, it's horrific beyond the imaginable. I used to have nightmares of this kind of thing as a kid, then wake up relieved because something like this would never happen. My mom just turned 56. I just turned 24. I don't use this word lightly, as many people on the internet do, but it is frankly traumatizing to wake up in the night to your mom screaming your name because she was too ashamed to ask her son to help her use the toilet. And now she has her hand stuck and twisted in her pants, hurting her atrophied fingers. Every day is something new and worse, never getting better. I don't know what kind of a man I'm going to be when this is over. I don't know how I will ever overcome the trauma. No one will ever understand the pain that people like you and me are enduring. I hope you're able to make the best of the situation, and I hope you and I both are able to live happy lives at the end of this. And someone answers to that, you're writing out of my soul, mate. I'm in the same situation as you, only that I and my mom are a few years older. The whole situation is just devastating. We are using some kind of emergency button for the last months. It's a help for her, but a nightmare for me. Already dreaming about it, just to make her days a little bit better. Hope you and your mom have some good moments.
There's grief everywhere.
Yeah.
And many of you listening right now are feeling the same horrors. You're going through it. We know that. We're very grateful that you're here. We hope we're doing something that might help you. At least we're letting you know that there are methods by which some of those who are suffering so much are getting help, and those who are giving the help at least can reach out and get some reinforcement. Go ahead. I don't know where we're going next.
Let's see. Here's one more. Friend with ALS. My buddy from high school got diagnosed in early 2023 after months of not being able to talk, walk, and progressive slowness. I finally went to visit him last week. His family moved him into an assisted living facility over the summer because he had deteriorated so fast. He's only 32.
32.
I walked into the room and was absolutely shocked. He's laying there with a breathing tube, looking straight into an iPad, playing movies all day. I was there alone with him, and his eyes were open. I was talking to him, and he was able to look over at me with his eyes, and I could tell he understood everything I said. I have a couple questions. I am a dentist, so naturally my mind races to what if he has a huge cavity that's causing him pain, or pain elsewhere that he cannot tell people he's having. His wife visits him daily. It's very sad. Not sure how much longer he has left, but it seems like it's torture in there keeping him alive.
Huh. All right, two more little additions to that. My childhood friend at 33 also has ALS. All we can do now is show them love and hang out with them as much as possible. Such a horrible and unfair disease. It's called murder. These people are murdered.
Yeah.
They've been murdered. And the last one. I'm a caregiver for a PALS in their 30s. What's PALS?
PALS, person or patient with ALS.
Okay. Also with the iPad, they do have a head mouse, so they can at least change settings or surf the web on the iPad. It makes it much easier to communicate things like pain or discomfort. This is a bottomless pit of the most horrific mass murder in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will talk about it in those terms. Very few.
No.
I don't blame them. I'm not criticizing them. They're going through hell on earth. But the people behind this knew exactly what they were doing. And all of you listening need to keep that in mind. Firmly. This is mass murder being done by the most satanic evil you could conjure up in your imagination.
I've got one post here. It's probably too long to read right now because we're out of time. But employers are still pushing the vax.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I figured, it's too long. We'll have to do that next time.
We'll do it next time.
Okay, thanks for putting those together. They're self-explanatory.
It's a sample of what's happening out there. It's not like we never had ALS. We've had ALS, since the 1940s that we know about.
But
in this age group?
No. No, it's disgusting. It really, and I know why the people are not going to rise up and hold those accountable to the task of evil that they have done. It's not going to happen. They, we know who they are. And I do not dismiss all of those happy healthcare workers who stuck those 13 billion needles in people's arms.
Mm, still doing
on
it.
On the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. The pharmacists.
700
million
here
aren't they incentivized to,
Of course they are. You bet. That's right.
Promote
That's
these
how
things.
They justify it.
Yep. Yeah.
Sickening. I really, my respect for people was never very high, but it's really plumbing new depths now.
Yeah, I know.
People are just putting up with this crap and I get why. We understand why, but that doesn't make it something that's easy to excuse. For God's sakes, after 4 years, we know this stuff is death.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Excellent.
Okay. My pleasure, right. Jeff. Good night, everyone.
We'll be back with another hour with Stefan Verstappen coming up next.